Azeroth is but one small world in a vast universe, a realm filled with potent magics and mighty beings. Since the dawn of time, these forces have influenced Azeroth and the surrounding cosmos, setting the stars in motion and shaping the destiny of countless worlds and mortal civilizations. Light and shadow are the most fundamental forces in existence. Although contradictory by their very nature, they are bound together on a cosmic scale. One cannot exist without the other. Pure light and shadow dwell in a realm outside the borders of reality, but shades of their presence are found in the physical universe. Light manifests as holy magic, while shadow, also referred to as the void, appears as shadow magic. The forces of life and death hold sway over every living thing in the physical universe. The energies of life, known commonly as nature magic, promote growth and renewal in all things. Death, in the form of necromantic magic, acts as a counterbalance to life. It is an unavoidable force that breeds despair in mortal hearts and pushes everything towards a state of entropic decay and eventual oblivion. The forces of order and disorder govern the cosmic systems of the physical universe. Order is most commonly perceived in reality as arcane magic. This type of energy is innately volatile, and wielding it requires intense precision and concentration. Conversely, disorder is manifested as highly destructive fell magic. This brutal and extremely addictive energy is fueled by drawing life from living beings. The elements of fire, air, earth, and water serve as the basic building blocks of all matter in the physical universe. Shamanic cultures have long sought to live in harmony with or assert dominion over the elements. To do so, they call upon the primordial forces of spirit and decay. Those who seek to bring balance to the elements rely on spirit, sometimes referred to as the fifth element by shaman, or qi by monks. This life-giving force interconnects and binds all things in existence as one. Decay is the tool of shaman seeking to subjugate and weaponize the elements themselves. The great dark beyond represents the physical universe. It is an infinite living realm composed of innumerable stars, worlds, and mortal civilizations. Azeroth, the world of Warcraft, is merely one of the countless worlds drifting through the vast reaches of the great dark beyond. The Twisting Nether is an astral dimension that lies in parallel with the great dark beyond. The forces of light and void bleed together at the boundaries of the twisting nether, engulfing this realm in perpetual strife. At times, the volatile magics that pervade the twisting nether intrude upon the physical universe, warping reality beyond measure. The Emerald Dream is an ethereal realm of spirits and untamed nature that exists alongside the world of Azeroth. Incredible beings known as the Keepers forged the Emerald Dream to act as a map for the evolutionary path of Azeroth's flora and fauna. The two realms are bound as one. As life ebbs and flows across the physical world, the spiritual energies that saturate the Emerald Dream keep pace with it. Although tied to the physical world, the Emerald Dream is a place that most mortal minds would find alien and surreal. But some of those minds, by channeling druidic magic, can enter a state of dreaming and consciously navigate the Emerald Dream. Their thoughts can also shape and influence portions of this verdant spirit realm. But the imprint that these dreamers leave behind is never permanent. In the dreamways, time and distance are mutable. Spirits flow like living winds through lush tracts of constantly shifting primordial woodlands. What appears tangible one moment becomes intangible the next. Seemingly impermeable landmarks transform in the blink of an eye. The Void Lords are monstrous entities composed of pure shadow energy. These beings are cruel and merciless beyond mortal comprehension. Driven by an insatiable hunger, the Void Lords seek to devour all matter and energy in the physical universe. In their natural state, the Void Lords exist outside reality. Only the most powerful of these entities can manifest in the physical universe, and only for limited amounts of time. To maintain their presence in reality, the Void Lords must consume untold amounts of matter and energy. The Naru are benevolent creatures of living holy energy. They are perhaps the purest expression of the light that exists in the great dark beyond. The Naru have vowed to bring peace and hope to all mortal civilizations and waylay the dark forces of the void that seek to engulf creation. The Titans are colossal godlike beings composed of the primordial matter from which the universe was born. They roam the cosmos like walking worlds, imbued with the raw power of creation itself. The Titans use this incredible force to find and awaken others of their kind. Others who still slumber within the far corners of the great dark. The Burning Legion is the single most destructive force within the great dark beyond. The fallen Titan Sargeras created this vast demonic army to scour all creation. The Burning Legion moves from world to world, decimating everything in its path with devastating fell magic. No one knows exactly how many worlds and mortal civilizations the demons have annihilated in their unholy burning crusade. The demons that fill the ranks of the Burning Legion are highly resilient. Their spirits are tethered to the Twisting Nether, making them extraordinarily difficult to destroy permanently. Even if a demon dies in the physical universe, its spirit will return to the Twisting Nether and manifest in corporeal form once again. To truly destroy a demon spirit, the creature must be killed in the Twisting Nether itself, in places where the volatile maelstrom bleeds into mortal worlds, or in areas inundated with the Burning Legion's energies. The old gods are physical manifestations of the void. They are nightmares incarnate, mountains of blighted flesh and writhing tentacles that grow like cancers within the worlds of the great dark. These malignant entities serve the Void Lords, and they live only to transform the worlds they infest into places of despair and death. The Wild Gods are primal manifestations of life and nature. They are creatures of two realms. The Wild Gods inhabit the physical world of Azeroth, but their spirits are bound to the ethereal Emerald Dream. Many wild gods appear in the form of gargantuan animals, such as wolves, bears, tigers, or birds. The elemental spirits are primitive and chaotic beings of fire, earth, air, or water. They were some of the first sentient creatures to inhabit the nascent worlds of the waking universe. The elemental spirits appear in an almost infinite variety of shapes and sizes. Each of these creatures has a distinct personality and temperament, traits that are heavily influenced by a spirit's elemental nature. The presence of the fifth element, spirit, also affects the disposition of these elemental beings. A world with an overabundance of spirit may give rise to native elementals who are passive and lack physicality. Conversely, a world with too little spirit may birth elementals who are highly aggressive and incredibly destructive. The undead are formal mortals who have died and become trapped between life and death. These tragic beings derive power from the necromantic energies that pervade the universe. Most undead are driven by vengeance and hatred to destroy the one thing they can never have again: life. Before life began, before even the cosmos took shape, there was light and there was void. Unfettered by the confines of time and space, the light swelled across all existence in the form of a boundless prismatic sea. Great torrents of living energy flitted through its mirrored depths, their movements conjuring a symphony of joy and hope. The ocean of light was dynamic and ever-shifting. Yet, as it expanded, some of its energies faded and dimmed, leaving behind pockets of cold nothingness. From the absence of light in these spaces, a new power coalesced and came to be. This power was the void, a dark and vampiric force driven to devour all energy, to twist creation inward to feed upon itself. The void quickly grew and spread its influence, moving against the flowing waves of light. The mounting tension between these two opposing yet inseparable energies eventually ignited a series of catastrophic explosions, rupturing the fabric of creation and birthing a new realm into existence. In that moment, the physical universe was born. The energies released by the clash of light and void raged across the nascent cosmos, raw matter merging and spinning into primordial worlds without number. For long epochs, this ever-expanding universe, the great dark beyond, broiled in a maelstrom of fire and magic. The most unstable energies coalesced into an astral dimension known as the Twisting Nether. Light and void collided and bled together at the edges of this realm, throwing it into turmoil. Although tangentially linked to the great dark beyond, the Twisting Nether existed outside the borders of the physical universe. Even so, the Twisting Nether's volatile energies would occasionally tear through the veil of the great dark, flooding into reality and warping creation. The cataclysmic birth of the cosmos also flung shards of light throughout reality. These shards suffused the matter of myriad worlds with the spark of life, giving rise to creatures of wondrous and terrible diversity. The most common forms of life to appear were the elemental spirits, primordial beings of fire, water, earth, and air. These creatures were native to nearly every physical world. Many of them reveled in the turmoil that held sway over the early ages of creation. Occasionally, clouds of fractured light gathered and gave shape to beings of far greater power, a far greater potential. Among these were the Naru, benevolent creatures composed of scintillating holy energies. When they gazed out across the immeasurable universe, they saw a realm of limitless possibilities. The Naru vowed to use their mastery over holy magic to spread hope and nurture life wherever they could find it. Even more extraordinary than the Naru were the colossal titans. Their spirits, known as world souls, formed deep within the fiery core a small number of worlds. For ages, these nascent titans slumbered, their energies suffusing the celestial bodies they inhabited. When the titans finally awoke, they did so as living worlds. Cosmic winds howled across their gigantic forms, bodies shrouded in a cloak of stardust, skin crisscrossed with silvery mountain peaks, and oceans shimmering with latent magic. With eyes that shone like brilliant stars, they observed the fledgling cosmos and became enraptured by its mysteries. Whereas the Nauru set out to safeguard life, the Titans embarked on a different journey. They wandered the distant corners of the great dark, searching for others of their kind. This grand, far-reaching voyage would one day alter the course of creation and shape the destiny of all living things. No one knows when or why the first Titan awoke, but legends hold that his name was Amon-Thul. Though Amon-Thul was alone, he knew in his heart that others of his kind must exist. Thus, he explored the worlds of the great dark beyond, intent on finding more Titans. His quest was arduous and lonely, but it was ultimately fulfilling. In time, he discovered other nascent world souls. Amon-Thul lovingly nurtured these newfound kin and roused them from slumber. Those who awakened devoted themselves to his noble search. Amon-Thul and his siblings later became known as the Pantheon. They were benevolent by nature, creatures aligned with order and stability. The Pantheon possessed a natural affinity to the latent magic in the universe. Fully aware of their incredible power, they bound themselves to a code of temperance toward the civilizations they encountered, even those of the unruly elemental spirits. The Titans of the Pantheon came to realize that order was crucial to finding others of their kind. On each world they encountered, they employed techniques to ascertain whether a world soul was present. The Pantheon would first pacify the world's raging elemental populations. Then they would reshape the world, forming great mountains, fathomless seas, roiling skies. Lastly, the Titans would seed myriad life forms across the newly ordered world. In doing so, the Pantheon hoped to call forth the world soul and help bring it to maturity. Most of the time, however, the worlds visited by the Titans proved inert. The Pantheon vowed to maintain and protect all of these worlds, even those that did not contain a slumbering spirit. To do so, they empowered primitive life forms to uphold the integrity of their ordered worlds. The Pantheon also embedded colossal machines in the surface of the worlds that they had shaped. Through these devices, the Titans could monitor their worlds and purge them of life should their evolutionary paths succumb to disorder. To aid the Pantheon, Amon-Thul called upon a mysterious race known as the Constellar. These celestial beings observed the many worlds ordered by the Titans, staying vigilant for any sign of instability. When it was necessary, the Constellar could initiate a fail-safe procedure to scour life from a world in the hopes of resetting its evolutionary process. Over the ages, the Pantheon discovered fewer and fewer world souls. Yet, they remained undaunted. They knew that the universe was vast beyond measure. and even after epochs of exploring the stars, they had only plumbed but a small corner of creation. Unbeknownst to the Titans, malign forces were also hard at work in the distant reaches of the great dark. From the moment the cosmos came to be, dark spirits within the void sought to twist reality into a realm of eternal torment. These entities were known as the Void Lords, and they had long watched the Pantheon and their journey from world to world. Envious of their power, the Void Lord sought to corrupt one of the world-shaping Titans into an instrument of their will. To achieve this goal, the Void Lord struggled to manifest in the physical universe. As they did so, their energy seeped into reality, warping some of the unsuspecting denizens of creation. Yet the noble and virtuous Titans proved impervious to this insidious corruption. Eventually, the Void Lords moved to exert their influence over a Titan in its most vulnerable state, before it had awakened. The Void Lords did not know which world contained slumbering Titan spirits. Thus, they pooled their power and hurled dark creatures throughout the physical universe, hoping that some would smash into a world soul. An unknown number of the Void Lord's creation hurtled through the great dark. They contaminated mortal worlds and everything else they touched in their blind search for a nascent Titan. In time, these wicked beings would come to be known as the Old Gods. Although the Titans were aware that void energies existed in the universe, they had no knowledge of the Void Lords or the Old Gods. The Pantheon's attention was consumed by another, more immediate threat, demons. These ferocious creatures had been born from the Twisting Nether, held in the thrall of unbridled hate and malice. They hungered for nothing less than the destruction of all life in the universe. Just as in the great dark beyond, life had also arisen in the Twisting Nether. The creatures that emerged from this turbulent realm were known as demons. They had been formed as a result of the light and void energies that had bled together at the borders of the Twisting Nether. The demons embraced their furious passions and reveled in pushing the boundaries of their power, heedless of the consequences. Many of these aberrations indulged in the highly volatile energy that pervaded the Nether. Some learned to wield the all-consuming powers of fell magic. Before long, these bloodthirsty demons clawed their way into the physical universe, terrorizing mortal civilizations and bringing ruin to world after world. Demons came in many forms. Some, like the two-headed void hounds, roamed the trackless wastes of the Nether like ravenous beasts. Others, such as the monstrous abyssals and infernals, were mindless amalgamations of matter and fell energy, created by more powerful and intelligent demons. Among these greater demons were the Nathrezim, otherwise known as Dreadlords. Cunning and manipulative, they dedicated their existence to mastering the arts of shadow magic. The Nathrezim relished infiltrating mortal civilizations, sowing unrest and turning nation against nation. As these societies devolved and crumbled from within, the Nathrezim would corrupt their populations, twisting innocence into new and horrific breeds of demons. The mighty Annihilin, or Pit Lords, took a more direct approach to conquering worlds. These monstrous butchers existed only to brutalize and torture the mortals who crossed their path. The Pit Lords often enslaved the lesser demons that stalked the nether, using them as fodder to besiege the mortal civilizations of the Great Dark Beyond. The Pantheon soon learned of the demonic incursions that flared at the far corners of creation. Fearing that these demons would disturb the Pantheon's quest to find and awaken other world souls, the Titans dispatched their mightiest warrior, the noble Sargeras. Without hesitation, the great-hearted Titan set out and pledged he would not rest until he had cleansed the universe of all demonic influence. Even among the extraordinary members of the Pantheon, Sargeras displayed unmatched courage and strength. These traits would suit him well for the harrowing task of hunting demons. Girded by his unshakable conviction, he launched himself into the great dark. Sargeras was soon drawn to worlds inundated with erratic and volatile energies. In these places, the influence of the twisting nether had spilled into the physical universe, allowing vast numbers of demons to manifest. For ages, Sargeras traveled to these beleaguered worlds, fighting to spare their mortal inhabitants from invading demons. He saw his foes reduce entire civilizations to smoldering husks, warping their denizens into hateful and depraved aberrations. Witnessing this staggering loss and ruin filled Sargeras with an overwhelming sense of helplessness. Before embarking on his mission, he had never imagined such evil could exist in the universe. Nevertheless, the unruly demons were disorganized and incompetent. Sargeras easily defeated his foes, winning victory after victory. As his battles dragged on, he became aware that some demons had learned to wield void energies. Through investigating these dark powers and where they originated from, Sargeras discovered that malign intelligences were spreading corruption throughout the cosmos. These intelligences were the Void Lords, and they were far more powerful than demons. The presence of the Void Lords left Sargeras deeply troubled. He pondered what the powers of the Void were planning, and what their existence could mean for the universe. Despite his unsettling discovery, Sargeras continued waging his war on the demons, The work of the Pantheon progressed without hindrance. They searched for nascent titans, ordering new worlds in the process. Sargeras often looked upon these budding worlds, seeing life bloom free from demon influence. It gave him a sense of satisfaction. His love for life galvanized his will to confront the Void Lords and undo their sinister plans for creation, whatever those plans might be. In time, the demons redoubled their efforts, engulfing ever more worlds in death and devastation. To Sargeras' dismay, he realized that he had fought many of these demons before. After he had defeated them in the physical universe, their spirits had simply returned to the Twisting Nether. Eventually, they had been reborn in new bodies. The only way to kill demons permanently was to slay them in the Nether, or in areas of the Great Dark saturated with that volatile realm's energies. Sargeras, however, was yet unaware of this fact. He knew only that his current tactics were ineffective. It was not enough to destroy his foes. He needed a means to contain them. Concerned about this development and the continued influx of demonic activity, the Pantheon sent another titan to aid their champion. His name was Agrimmar, and though he was inexperienced in battle, he proved a quick study. He earned Sargeras' admiration and became the Titan warrior's trusted lieutenant. For many millennia, they fought shoulder to shoulder, an impenetrable bulwark against the ravaging demonic onslaught. With Agrimmar able to hold his own in battle, Sargeras had time to closely study the properties of the Twisting Nether and find a way to contain demons. Though he hadn't yet grasped the volatile realm's full scale, he had learned how to manipulate and shape some of its energies. Sargeras used this knowledge to forge a prison within the Nether. Known as Mardum, the Plane of Banishment, it would act as an impregnable pocket dimension from which nothing could escape. No longer would demons be reborn after defeat. Now they would be contained within this prison, where they would languish for all eternity. As Agrimmar and Sargeras continued their campaign, the prison overflowed with captive demons and their destructive fell energies. Soon, these energies became so great that they began tearing at the veil between the Nether and the physical universe. The prison appeared in distant reaches of the Great Dark as a burning, verdant star. Sargeras' and Agrimmar's valiant efforts soon brought peace to the cosmos. Demonic incursions would remain a constant threat to the Great Dark, but they became increasingly rare. The Titans' worlds prospered, and life, in all of its complexity, flourished. As the Pantheon searched for slumbering world souls, Sargeras and Agrimmar continued their hunt for errant demons. The two champions agreed that they could protect more worlds if they worked apart, only calling on each other for aid in times of dire need. Thus, they went their separate ways. It was during this epoch that Sargeras discovered the full horror of the Void Lord's plans. He was drawn to a remote corner of the Great Dark, where cold void energies radiated out from a black and desiccated world. There, Sargeras found enormous beings he had never seen, estering across the world's surface. These were the old gods, and they had embedded themselves in the world and shrouded it in a veil of void energies. With growing horror, Sargeras realized that this was not just any world. He heard the world soul dreaming within its core. But these were not the joyous dreams Sargeras recognized from other world souls. They were dark and horrific nightmares. The old god's tendrils had burrowed deep, enveloping the slumbering titan's spirit in shadow. A conclave of Nathrezim had also discovered this black world. They came to dwell among the old gods, basking in their dark power. Sensing their evil, Sargeras captured and ruthlessly interrogated the Nathrezim. The broken demons revealed what they had learned about the old gods and the intentions of the Void Lords. If the powers of the Void succeeded in corrupting a nascent titan, it would awaken as an unspeakably dark creature. No power in creation, not even the Pantheon, could stand against it. In time, the warped titan would consume all matter and energy in the universe, bringing every mote of existence under the Void Lord's will. Sargeras, the undefeated champion of the Titans, knew fear for the first time. It dawned on him that just as the Pantheon had been searching for world souls, so too had the Void Lords. Sargeras had never dreamed that void energies could so utterly consume a slumbering Titan. Yet, the proof was right before his eyes. Rage and anguish burned through Sargeras' soul. He smote the Nathrezim with a single blow. His fury so great that he utterly obliterated the demons' forms. Sargeras turned his attention to the black world itself. His heart ached with sorrow, for he knew there was only one way to stop the Dark Titan from rising. With a heave of his blade, Sargeras split the world in two. The resultant explosion consumed the old gods and their energies, but it killed the nascent Titan as well. Sargeras immediately returned to the rest of the Pantheon and summoned Agrimmar to his side. Before the gathered Titans, Sargeras recounted his discoveries. The other Pantheon members were stunned by what they had learned, but even more so by Sargeras' rash action. They chastised him for so needlessly killing one of their own kin. Had he called on their aid, they argued, they could have purged the world soul of corruption. Although Sargeras tried to convince them that what he had done was necessary, he came to realize it was futile. The other Titans had not seen what he had seen. They would never understand why he had taken such drastic measures. Apart from Agrimmar, the other Titans had no first-hand knowledge of the Void or demons. They could not fathom the depths of such malice and corruptive power. Heated arguments flared between Sargeras and the rest of the Pantheon, concerning how best to deal with the threat posed by the Void Lords. Above all, Sargeras feared that if the old gods had corrupted one world soul, they might have corrupted many others as well. It might be too late to stop them. Sargeras expressed his growing fear that existence itself was already flawed, an idea that he had come to terms with following his encounter with the old gods. Only by burning away all of creation could the Titans stand a chance of thwarting the Void Lord's ultimate goal. In Sargeras's mind, even a lifeless universe was better than one dominated by the Void. Life had taken root in the cosmos once before. Perhaps after the physical universe was scoured of corruption, life would take root once again. This idea horrified the rest of the Pantheon. Aenar, the Lifebinder, reminded Sargeras that the Titans had sworn to protect living things whenever possible. Nothing could be so dire as to warrant systemic extinction. Even Agrimmar stood against his mentor, arguing that there must be another way to defeat the Void Lords. He urged Sargeras to abandon this dark plan and reason out another solution. Overcome with despair and feelings of betrayal, Sargeras stormed away from the other Titans. He knew full well that his kin would never see reason, and if they would not help him expel the Void Lord's corruption, then he would do so himself. This was the last time the Titans of the Pantheon would see him as one of their own.